So we read from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Sri Govinda Lilamrita. Summary of the morning pastimes. I take shelter of Sri Radha, who is sent for by the queen of Raja to cook for Krishna after bathing and ornamenting herself with her girlfriends. After cooking for Krishna in his abode, she eats the remnants of his food. I also take shelter of Sri Krishna, who after awakening goes to the barn to milk his cows and is then bathed and fed along with his friends. Thus Purnamasi, who is like a full moon of divine love, finished her morning duties and quickly came to the abode of the king of Raja, her heart overwhelmed with love for Achyuta. She was delighted to see the abode of the king of Raja, which looked just like Svetadvip, Lord Vishnu's white island, which gave great joy to the spectator with its beautiful courtyard sprinkled by drops of milk that splattered out from the churning of curd and butter, with its many people walking around filled with loving affection, and its interiors made wonderful with various kinds of jewels and flowing waves of milk. Here Achyuta slept on his playbed. Yasoda, the queen of Raja, was expert in knowing time and circumstance. So Purnamasi, who was like austerity personified, coming and joyfully got up to greet her. Mukunda's mother said, "O holy mother, O object of Raja's worship, welcome. Please come in. I bow down to you," and bowed down to Purnamasi, who embraced her. Eager to see Govinda, Purnamasi blessed Yasoda and inquired after the welfare of herself, her son, her husband, and their cows. The queen of Raja informed her of her welfare and then eagerly entered her son's bedroom with her. Then Gobata, Bhadrasena, Subal, Sri Stoka Krishna, Arjuna, Sridham, Ujjwala, Dama, Kinkini, Sudama, and other friends of Krishna quickly came out of their homes and joyfully joined Balaram in the courtyard, calling, "Krishna, get up! Let's go to your beloved cow camps." Madhumanga, Krishna's Brahmana friend, got up from bed and said, hey, it's morning time. Why is our friend still sleeping? Oh, friends, I will wake him up." Overcome by sleep and fatigue, Madhumanga stumbled into Hari's room, bedroom, and mumbled, "Oh, friend, get up." Although the Lord had actually awoken from hearing Madhumanga's call, and although he wanted to get up, he couldn't. His eyes were still rolling of sleep. Then Mother Yasoda tried to awaken Hari, who slept on his jeweled bed, just as the Vedas personified. "Awaken, Lord Hari, Vishnu, when he sleeps on the jeweled bed of Ananta sage in a palace in the milk ocean during the cosmic dissolution." She placed her left hand on the bed and, bending over, placed her weight on it, touched Krishna's body with her lotus-like right hand. She sprinkled the bed with tears of joy and milk trickling from her breast, saying, "Wake up, my boy. Show us your lotus-like face, oh boy. Although the cows had their calves already, they will not give their milk unless they see you. Even so, your father has gone to the barn alone without calling you, being afraid to disturb your sleep. Get up. I shall wash your mouth. Why are you wearing Balaram's blue cloth?" Saying this, Mother Yasoda removed Radhika's blue cloth from Krishna's body with her hands. Then she told Purnamasi, "O holy mother, look at my son's body, which is as soft as a lotus flower. It's been wounded by the sharp fingernails of his restless playmates in their wrestling games and colored by very wonderful mineral pigments. Oh, I'm so afflicted. What shall I do?" When Krishna heard his mother's astonished words filled with affection, his eyes became filled with bashful anxiety. Then Madhumangala, who was expert in causing laughter, seeing Krishna's anxiety, said to Krishna's mother, whose heart was moistened with affection, "It's true, mother, although I always forbid them, these greedy friends always play rough games with him in the groves." Then Krishna showed the glory of his childhood, repeatedly opening his eyes with care and seeing his own mother in front of him, closing them again with a smile on his lotus-like face. Purnamasi, hearing these words of the Queen of Raja, and seeing Krishna's childhood sports, which concealed a mood different from his mother's, smilingly told Krishna, "Since you're tired of constantly playing many great games with your many friends, it is fitting, O pure-hearted boy, that you are sleeping now. But the calves will not drink milk without seeing you, even though they're thirsty. O Lord of the tribe of Raja, get up. Get up, O Prince of the Meadows. Look, your older brother and your friends have come to the courtyard close by. Although it's past time to go to the meadows, they're still waiting for you." Stretching out his body, extending his hand, tightened into fists, Krishna got up from bed, making a net of light beams with his teeth while yawning, his tamal tree-like blue body being tired. Krishna sat up on one side of the bed, placing his lotus feet on the ground. With faltering voice, he yawned, "O holy lady, I offer my obeisances unto you." Then his mother, who was overwhelmed with mature affection for her son, tied his soft, loosened hair, which was as beautiful as an abundance of black collyrium, from which the flowers had fallen, into the top knot. Then she took a golden jug, which was standing in front of her, and washed her son's rolling eyes with the water. Then she happily wiped them off with her apron. Krishna came out of the bedroom into the courtyard, holding Madhu Mangal's hand with his left hand and his flute in his right hand, being followed by his mother and Purnamasi. With eyes blooming of love, all the coward boyfriends of Krishna surrounded him on the courtyard. One held his hand, another one the end of his claw, and some others tried to touch his body simultaneously. Mother Yasoda told Krishna, "O child, go to the meadows, feed milk to the calves, milk your own Surabhi cows, and quickly return home for breakfast." Thus Krishna went to the barn with his friends on his mother's order. Then, while they were on their way, Madhu Mangala, who was expert in yogi, looked up to the sky and said, "Friend, look, the sun is like a fisherman extending his net in the lake of the sky. Seeing this, the fish-like stars fearfully disappear. The moon, seeing the newly risen sun, shaped like a mirage as a tiger, enters into the mountain cave of the moon set to save its own deer. Friend, look, the sky is like a pregnant woman who presses the fetus of the moon out of her womb at the end of her term. The cooings of the pigeons sound like the painful cries of that woman who gave up all her ornaments," meaning the sky gave up the stars in the moon. "Oh, lotus-faced friend, this lotus flower is now smiling after seeing the ocean-born moon, which despite being its nourisher, is unfriendly, leaving the sky, being defeated by its own friend, the sun." After hearing these joking words from Mother Mangala, all the coward boys who were protected by the cowherders laughed and entered their own barns. Just as the moon entered the night sky with Venus and Jupiter, Gopal entered his barn, along with Balaram and Madhu Mangala, the demigods. To Balaram to be the Airavata elephant, surrounded by his cows that looked like the huge boulders of Mount Kailash. The people took Achyuta to be like a black bee amongst white lotus flowers as he stood amidst his cows that had their faces turned upwards. The moon of Raja Krishna thus called all his cows by name again and again. "Hey, hey, Ganga, Godavari, Sabali, Kalindi, Davale, hey, hey, Dungre, Tungi, Brahmari, Yamune, Hansi, Kamale, hey, Rambe, Champe, Karini, Harini." Placing his bodily weight on his toes and the milk vessel between his knees, the son of King Nanda milked a few cows himself and let the other boys milk the rest of the cows. He gave great pleasure to his cows in the morning by affectionately scratching them. Meanwhile, in the village named Yavat, the old lady Mukara, Kirtida's mother, woke up and rose from bed. Becoming eager to shower her granddaughter Radhika with the nectar of her affection, she went to her bedroom. Although she was crooked by nature, Jatila, being eager to increase her son's wealth, arrived and told Mukara, "O learned lady, please dress and ornate my daughter-in-law and engage her in the worship of the sun god." so that my son's progeny, lifespan and wealth of millions of cows may increase. Purnamasi, who knows how to increase our wealth, daily tells me that I should never violate Queen Yasoda's order, and I should neglect the advice of ignorant fools. Therefore, O revered lady, ornament your granddaughter with auspiciousness, so that my son may gain all desired wealth. Then Jatila told her daughter-in-law Radhika, O child, quickly get up from bed, worship your parental home, take a purifying bath, and collect all your paraphernalia for worshipping the sun god. Repeatedly telling herself, oh, how amazing, morning has broken, and still my granddaughter is sleeping. Mukara, whose body melted of affection, entered Radha's bedroom and told her, oh, my girl, get up from bed now. Oh, bewildered girl, have you forgotten that it's Sunday today? Take your bath and quickly prepare your paraphernalia for worshipping the sun god with morning oblations. Vishakha awoke from hearing Mukara's words and quickly got up, despite the fact that she was still tired, saying, my dear friend, quickly get up, because of Mukara's and Vishakha's words. Bewildered Radha woke up and fell asleep time after time, her body exhausted, looking like a lordly swan swung by the moving waves of a pond. Then Sri Rati Manjari, seeing her opportunity, began to serve the lotus feet of her friend Radha, the princess of Vrindavan. Being repeatedly addressed by Vishakha and Mukara, Sri Radhika got up from bed. Then Mukara, seeing Krishna's yellow cloth on her, said with an anxious heart, Vishakha, look, what is this? Yesterday evening I saw this bright golden cloth on Murari's chest, but now your friend is wearing it. Alas, alas, how can this happen to a pure housewife? Vishakha, hearing these words, cast a quick glance on the yellow cloth and anxiously thought, oh, what is this? Thus she quickly told Mukara, oh, naturally blind lady, the golden sun rays coming in through the window make my friend's blue cloth look like golden also. Oh, bewildered old lady, why are you giving anxiety to pure-hearted girls? Meanwhile, the Sakis, headed by Lalita, left their own homes and quickly came to see Radhika with stumbling gait. Even before Sri Radhika got up, the maidservants were awaiting their mistress, closing to the bathing dais. Then beautiful Radhika got up and sat down on a nice chair studded with various jewels, played there by her maidservants. Beautiful Lalita took all the ornaments from her body as she picked leaves and flowers from a golden vine. Meanwhile, two washermen's daughters named Manjista and Rangavati came to their mistress with her new clothes for the day, with scented powder from a mango leaf cup. Radhika cleaned her teeth, that I defy the splendor of crystal inset, or her teeth that defy the splendor of crystal inset with rubies. With both hands, Radhika held a golden tongue scraper and cleansed her tongue. Then she sprinkled her face with spoonfuls of water from a golden jug brought in by a maidservant. After washing her lotus-like mouth and hands, Radhika went to the bathing dais, which was surrounded by golden water pots. Taking the bathing clothes brought by the washermaids with her, after sitting on this soft golden dais, which was covered by a tin sheet, Radhika was surrounded by her expert attendants who carried pots of oil to serve her. Two manicure girls named Sugandha and Nalini, who were expert in massaging with oil, applying footlak and arranging the hair, arrived and lovingly rubbed Radhika's naturally cool and shining body with pleasant, fragrant, cool Narayan oil and smeared it with various cooling pastes. They arranged Radhika's hair with fragrant myrobalan seeds and rubbed her shining body with a fine towel. Thus, then they showered her completely. Well, there's a whole thing about dressing going on for quite a while. For two pages. For the rest of the chapter. But then next, Sri Radhika cooks for Sri Krishna in the morning. In the Aishwarya Kadambini, Srila Baladeva Vichabhusan is Maybe I don't want to. It's supposed to be not official now. In the Aishwarya Kadambini, it is described how by Srila Baladevi Chibusan, how Srimati Radharani then is carried from her home in a palanquin to the, while being fanned the whole way to the house of Yasoda, where Rohini has already started cooking, and then Radharani comes in and continues to cook. So, because everything is spiritual, and she's carried in a palanquin because she's the topmost devotee, because she's worshipped, because the culture of worship is the culture of the spiritual world. It is that culture which is predominant. And therefore, she has servants who are coming to bring golden jugs for bathing and so on, not because she is a queen. Yasoda is the queen, but Srimati Radharani is simply the greatest devotee, and that gives her that status of being served and worshipped. So these relationships exist in the spiritual world. When Gokulananda, Krishna, went to the meadows, Queen Yasoda became eager to prepare his meal, so she engaged everyone in the house. Although all the people in her house were very busily engaged in their duties and were all excited with love for Krishna, still Yasoda, bathed by the nectar of affection for her son, directed them all. She told her maidservants, "Oh girls, my boy will now return from the barn with Balaram, skinny and hungry, so quickly start cooking. Bring spinach, radish, golden flowers, moon dal, fruits, leaves, ginger, ground nuts, sour spices, turmeric, pepper, camphor, sugar, cumin seeds, cream, tamarind, hing, honey, jati fruits, cassia leaves, licorice, cane sugar, ingredients for puddings, sea salt, coconut pulp, whole wheat, ghee, yogurt, tulasi rice and whole rice, and bring milk from a cow that was sent here this morning by Nanda Maharaj. Bring all these items to the kitchen for preparation." The maidservants quickly executed this order, and Mother Yasoda, still overwhelmed with affection for Krishna, called Mother Rohini and told her, "Friend Rohini, the tender bodies of our boys, Krishna and Balaram, have been very much injured by the cowherd boys during their whimsical wrestling games. How many coward servants are there not in my house? Still, despite my prohibition, Krishna and Balaram still go to the meadows themselves to herd the cows. What can I do? Saki, our sons are exerting themselves by dancing and strolling around in the forest. Then in the evening, when they return, they have no appetite and they hardly eat anything. Thus they become very weak and skinny. Alas, in the morning their bellies are flat. Oh, fair-faced Rohini, quickly go to the kitchen. Our sons have become very hungry. Prepare enough food to satisfy their great appetite. Carefully prepare the same curry which they liked so much yesterday, and whatever else they like." Being thus ordered, Balaram's mother went to the kitchen with her maidservants, lovingly taking all the ingredients for cooking with her, eager to increase her son's small appetite by preparing different sweetmeats. The queen of Gokul desired to bring Sri Radha for cooking. Accidentally, Kundalata, the wife of Upananda's son, Subhadra, came along and offered her obeisances to Queen Yasoda. Yasoda told her, "O Kundalata, one day Durvasa Muni blessed Sri Radhika, saying, 'Radha, may the grains you cook taste sweeter than nectar, and may anyone who eats them be blessed with a long lifespan. Because of this blessing of Durvasa Muni, I call Radha here every day to cook. Although my son is a small eater, He gets great appetite when he eats Radha's delicious preparation. So please appeal to our mother-in-law with these words of mine and quickly bring Radha here with all of her friends. Although Queen Yasoda daily engages Kundalata like this, it's always again like the first time. There's no fault in this, for the residents of Raja are not aware of it. Intoxicated by passionate love for Krishna, they experience this routine as ever fresh. It's a nice point, huh? Because it's always the same every day, this wonder. Kundalata was enthused by Yasoda's words, and she became eager to unite the queen bee Radhika with the honeybee Madhusudan. Although Jatila was very awkward towards her daughter-in-law, the very clever Kundalata came to her and announced the message of the queen of Raja. Hearing this order, Jatila became worried about Krishna's attachment to her daughter-in-law, but then she remembered Purnamasi's instruction and told Kundalata, "Oh child, my daughter-in-law is a chaste girl, sweetened by the nectar of the best attributes, but Nanda's son is very whimsical. People in general are fault finders, but Purnamasi ordered me never to ignore the orders of the Queen of Raja. My heart is stirred with doubts. What should I do?" Kundalata replied, "Oh mother, you speak the truth, but you should not think that Krishna is as naughty as wicked men are telling you, just as the sun nourishes the lotus flower, but blinds the owls. Remove the darkness of the world and give pleasure to the cuckoo birds. He cannot please everyone. Similarly, Krishna gives joy to the whole of Raja, except for some people, like you." The young girls of the world are maddened by Krishna's sweetness, so it's proper of you to worry about your daughter-in-law's safety. But do not worry. Krishna will not even be able to see her shadow, and I will quickly bring her back to you myself. Jatila said, "Oh, daughter Kundalata, you are known in Vraja for your chastity. So I'll entrust my innocent daughter-in-law to your hands. The eyes of Nanda's boy are very restless, so please make sure that he doesn't see her." Then she called her daughter-in-law and told her, "My girl, go to the queen of Nanda. Do what she tells you to, and then quickly return home. Today you must worship the sun god." When Radha was thus addressed by Jatila, she became very happy within, but pretending to be unwilling to go, she told Kundalata, "I have work to do at home. A housewife should not wander around from house to house." Again, Jatila urged Radhika to go to Nandiswar. Then Kundalata, holding Radha's hand, told her, "Oh, chaste girl, why are you so afraid to go there? I am here to protect you." Thus Radhika went with her, shivering of joy. Her friends, headed by Lalita, following her, taking home or made ladus alone for Krishna's breakfast. On the road, Kundalata looked at the scarf that moved on Sri Radhika's chest and joked with her friends about it in loving joy. She said, "Radha, even though your husband was out for 3 or 4 days to have the newly purchased fertile cows inseminated by the bulls, he came home last night and slept alone in his room. Still, we can see that your chest is covered with nail marks. Okay. We are very happy that you are showing clear signs of your chaste faith to your husband now." Being very restless out of her desire to see Krishna, which came forth from her strongly arising mood of attachment to him, Radhika became overwhelmed with very strong loving happiness. As she heard all of these sly, joking insinuations, she slowly approached the abode of the King of Raja with her beloved girlfriends. Arriving there, she offered her obeisances to Yasoda, Mukunda's mother, who lifted her up and embraced her, holding her to her chest. Being more affectionate than billions of mothers, Yasoda happily smelled Radhika's head and kissed her. While tears flowed from her eyes, she also embraced each of Radhika's girlfriends and freely inquired from Radhika about her welfare. Overwhelmed by affection for her son and eager to quickly arrange for his meals, she said, "Oh girls, you're famous in Vraja for your expertise in making many sweet preparations. Cook nice food that will give appetite even to a small eater like my boy.
O girls, one of you must prepare salty dishes. Someone must make a yogurt dress dish. Someone should cook in ghee, and some should cook in sugar. Radhe, mother, you're expert in cooking tasty dishes, so please go to my kitchen, the Rohini, and carefully prepare the best sweets and vegetables with her. Oh, my daughter, carefully prepare soft amrita keli and karpura keli pies that are millions of times sweeter and tastier than nectar. Who else in the three worlds but you knows how to prepare such things that make Krishna eager to eat?